Today, our topic is on pray without ceasing. Say that with me. Pray without ceasing. How is your prayer life? Somebody shared this with me years ago. Prayer is like a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer measures room temperature. Am I correct? Your prayer life measures, reveals your spiritual temperature, how you are spiritually. If your prayer life is vibrant, that means you are spiritually healthy. If your prayer life is not vibrant, that means you are not spiritually healthy. So it is a thermometer. How's your prayer life? The good news, the prayer life is also a thermostat. A thermostat adjusts the temperature of a room. If you are spiritually sluggish, you are not doing well, my advice is pray. Because your prayer life will adjust your spirituality. Don't be discouraged. If spiritually you are down, the best remedy I'll give you is fast and pray. Of all the spiritual disciplines, listen to me, of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most fundamental. What do I mean? Example, I have a few spiritual disciplines I encourage everybody to practice. Reading of the Bible, that's a spiritual discipline. I do that. Attending a small group, I do that. Memorizing scriptures, I do that. Attending worship, I do that. But more than all of the above, the most critical is your prayer life. And my prayer is you and I will be men and women of prayer. So what's the topic today? Pray without ceasing. Say it with me. Pray without ceasing. You find this command in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It's a very short verse. First Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. This is a command. It is not a suggestion. And the command is keep on praying. Keep on praying without stopping. The word prayer here is already in the imperative. It's a command, present tense, keep on praying. And then the Bible repeats, without ceasing. Now, in the Greek Bible, there are many words for prayer. For example, you can use the word request. They can use the word ask. Different words for prayer. But in this particular verse, God inspired the writer to use the word pros, komai. Now, what does that mean? Pros, before. It's a combination of two words. So the idea of going before God, it has the idea of worship. It has the idea of devotion. It has the idea of adoration. So prayer is basically worship. You offer God something. And then it added the word, you offer to God your prayer request. Today, for most people, prayer is talking about requests. But I want to tell you something. Prayer is more than requests. It's coming before God. It is one thing, His presence. You offer to God yourself, your devotion, your worship. So the Bible says, what's the message today? Pray without ceasing. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. Pray without ceasing. This amazing command is sandwiched between two verses. The first verse is rejoice always, verse 16. This is a command. Now, it's one thing to rejoice. Example, you get a promotion, you win a sweepstakes, or whatever. Rejoice. The challenge is rejoice always. How can you rejoice always? You have to be prayerful. You see, rejoicing and prayer are connected. Because the truth is sometimes circumstances is bad. Sometimes it's outside your control. What do? You pray. And then prayer is sandwiched between another verse. It's called, everybody read together. In everything. Notice, in everything. What are we supposed to do? Give thanks. You know, my problem is this. Certain things, it's easy to give thanks. Certain things, it's extremely hard to give thanks. The Bible says, in everything. Let's read that one more time. In everything, what are you supposed to do? Give thanks. Why? This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know God's will for you today? Simple. Rejoice. Pray always. Give thanks. So when you pray, you are rejoicing. When you pray, you give thanks. It is easier said than done. How many of you are thankful people? Really, it's your nature to always give thanks. Raise your hand. How many of you by nature don't give thanks? You're the complainer. Don't raise your hands. That's embarrassing. You're negative. I found this easier said than done. I was asking the Lord during this trip. I just arrived. You won't believe this. I arrived yesterday morning from Italy. And I was praying. I said, Lord, give me good illustrations on my message today, because I'm going to give this message. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Would you believe it? From Milan, I landed in Oman, Muscat. My connecting flight was delayed. Now, you and I know how miserable it is when your connecting flight is delayed. I was hoping only 2 hours. It was delayed by not 3 hours, not 4 hours, not 5 hours, not 6 hours, not 7 hours. It's delayed by 8 hours. My wife reminded me, in everything, give thanks. I was about to scold her already, you know. Why are you giving me a sermon when, but it's really true. So I said, Lord, I thank you for this delay. It is so hard. Do you appreciate what I'm saying? Sometimes it is hard to give thanks because circumstances is not nice. I like to be angry. I was directed to see the transfer desk. So I smiled. I hated to go to transfer desk because I already had my boarding pass. But I have to smile. In everything, give thanks. And then I smiled at the girl. I said, what's the problem? Blah, 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 blah. But you know what they did? Because after giving thanks, there is something released in you. You are trusting God. My plan is very simple. I arrive on a Friday early evening. I will rest and review my message on Saturday with my staff, go over the PowerPoint. Perfect plan. But I got stuck in Oman. But the Lord did something better. You know what was better? Would you like to know what happened to me? They gave me a 5-star hotel. You know, I was able to go to the gym. Wow. I was able to prepare. You see, because the room is so nice, I was so refreshed, I was able to swim. Wow. Now you ask me, how did you swim? Because I only have my bag. Secret. I won't tell you how, but I swam, okay? And the food was excellent. So, in everything, give thanks. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. You want to clap? Go ahead. In everything, give thanks. But I'm telling you, it is not easy. Look at what the Bible says about prayer. Everybody read, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Remember I told you different words for prayer? One is prayer, it's translated prayer. The other one is supplication, when you ask. For most of us, it's always asking. Another one is let your requests. Different words for prayer. But the one I'm telling you is prayer with adoration, devotion, worship. Okay? Now, how many of you have problems? Raise your hands. Are you telling me we have the same problems? You have problems. How many of you worry about your problems? Raise your hands. You know, when you worry, you're committing sin. Are you aware of that? It's a sin. Because the Bible commands us, be anxious for nothing. Jesus commands us, do not worry. Remember what Jesus said? Do not worry what you shall eat, drink, because your heavenly Father knows. Be anxious for nothing. Tell your neighbor, be anxious for nothing. Now, what's the secret? Read the next part. But in everything. Notice the contrast. Nothing. Don't worry. Nothing. Don't worry. In everything, including your problems, including your secret desires, in everything, big or small, what must you do? Give it to the Lord. With thanksgiving. That, my friend, is the antidote for worry. Prayer with thanksgiving. Can you honestly pray if there is cancer in your body? If your loved ones have cancer, or if somebody dies, can you honestly say, Lord, I don't know why, but I thank you. Extremely difficult. I want to share with you the secret of prayer without ceasing. Something will happen when you pray without ceasing through thanksgiving. You know what will happen? Let's read this. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. In other words, the promise of God is if you pray with thanksgiving, His peace, the peace of God, not the peace of the world, the peace of God. One of my friends told my son, his best friend went to Sri Lanka for a vacation. In Sri Lanka, remember the bombing? 3 of his children died on the spot. This guy was a billionaire. And I realized in life, you don't know what will happen to you. He was having breakfast with his children. The wife went ahead to bring the other baby down. While the wife was going up, he left the 3 kids just to go to the reception desk to check about something. And when he came back, boom! 3 of his children died on the spot. How in the world are you going to comfort people like that? My friend, who is the pastor of one of the biggest churches in Sri Lanka, one of their satellites were bombed. Now, if you see the interview on television, you'll notice something. A group of Christians were being interviewed. That was his church. And you know what they say? We love those who bomb us. For Christians to say, we still love those who bomb us. My friend, this is my lesson. What happens to you is outside your control. Think about it. Let me repeat. What will happen to you is outside your control. The only thing within your control is how you respond. And today I'm going to give you something that you will remember for the rest of your life. You pray. Whatever happens to you, you must learn to pray. Commit it to the Lord. Because the only thing you can control is your response. You leave it to God because God is the ultimate controller. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God always, always answer prayers? Yes or no? Louder. Let me ask you one more time. Does God hear prayers? Does He answer all the time? See, you are now shaking your head. I do not know how you shake both ways. Let me tell you the answer. You want a biblical answer? That's why theology is important. And that is why in CCF we emphasize Bible study, we emphasize Bible preaching, we want you to study the Bible. Biblically, God not only hears, He answers all prayer. What do I mean? When you pray for something, what are the possible answers? Yes? No? Wait? One more, which people don't teach. God will always answer your prayers. Either yes, no, wait, or listen. I have something better. That's how God answers our prayer. There was a mother who prayed for his son, that his son will not leave the house. Because the mother noticed the house, the son was turning away from the Lord. But God did not answer the prayer of the mother. The son left the house. They are from Africa. The son went to Italy. Became decadent. But you guess what happened? A few years later, the son came back. When the son came back, he was a changed person. He became a theologian. He became a pastor. If I mention to you his name, you will know him. You know what he said? God did not answer the prayer of my mother, but God answered the hope of my mother. Because the mother's desire was really for him to become godly, to love the Lord, and to serve the Lord. And that's exactly what happened to him when he left the house. Who was this man? Augustine. Augustine was from Africa. He became an amazing theologian because God did not answer the prayer of his mom for him to stay home. But God answered the hope of his mother. Everything that the mother desired for his son came through. Is God amazing? All right, singles, wave at me, singles. Say hi. Now, what's your prayer request? Don't worry. I'm telling you, don't worry. In God's time, what will God do? In God's time, all right? So, I want you to look at Acts chapter 12 and let us see how important it is to learn to pray. There are three P's I want you to remember about prayer. Number one, problem. Say that with me. Three P's. Why should you learn to pray without ceasing? Problems. God allows problems. And you need God's power, God's help to overcome problems. Yes or no? And problems will drive you to your knees. Next P, perspective. Prayer will realign your perspective. You don't know why. Why did you allow this person to die? You will learn. Prayer changes perspective. And lastly, power. You cannot separate power from prayer. In the Bible, it's always connected. You want God's power? You pray. No shortcut. So pray without ceasing. Problems are inevitable. You will have problems. What else? Perspective. You need to change. Why God is allowing this? You need God's help. You pray. And lastly, you need power. Now, let's talk about problems. Can I tell you something? I want to thank God for many of you. You prayed for me. Would you believe it? When I was in Milan, I spoke to Italians, okay? But when I was about to speak, their whole screen, the projector, the screen, developed a problem. Now, those of you who are used to giving seminars in a foreign country where my words are in English and Italian, without the screen, without a PowerPoint, I am dead. I tell you, I was nervous, I was panicking, but the Bible says what? In everything, what must you do? Pray. So I talked to the Italian technicians in English, somebody translated, let's pray. I texted CCF, pray, pray, pray. Would you believe it? When I stood up to the stage, boom, it was working. Is God amazing? Let me show you, for example, my wife was also speaking, all right? We had the screen here, and these are Italians, but the screen worked, and then the screen broke in, and I stopped. I said, everybody, pray. Comprende? Pray. You know, when we prayed, boom, screen went back. That's why you can see, okay? This, the screen is working again. Is God amazing? You know why? Sometimes he allows problems so that you will get on your knees. I said, Lord, I thank you because you are real. We pray. How's your prayer life? You need improvement? Don't worry. You start practicing. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, pray without ceasing. One more time. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, pray without ceasing. You're going to have problems. You need to change your perspective. You need power. Let's begin. Acts chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. Now, who is this Herod? In the Bible, you have different Herods. Let me just give four of them, the more famous ones. The first Herod is Herod the Great. He was the one who rebuilt the temple. He was the one who killed babies when Jesus was born. That's Herod the Great. One of his sons is called Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas killed John the Baptist, remember? That's Herod Antipas. He was the one who interrogated Jesus. Now you have another Herod, the grandson of Herod the Great, Herod Agrippa. Herod Agrippa is the Herod of Acts chapter 12. He was the one who killed James. He was the one who imprisoned Peter. And you have another Herod, which you will encounter at the last part of the book of Acts. That's another Herod. But you don't want to be called Herod. You know why? Herod is bad news. But the truth is, we have many Herods in our lives. Yes or no? And that's why you need to be prayerful. How many of you know of somebody called Herod? Raise your hands. All right, I feel sorry for you. You know of somebody called Herod. Please don't name your children Herod, Herod. You know why Herod is bad news? The guy was so insecure. Herod the Great was so insecure, he killed his own son. One of his own sons he killed. Herods are insecure people. That's why they are mean. They're not good. Anyway, look at what the Bible tells us. Herod laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. One of which is, and he had James. Who is this James? The brother of John, put to death. Now you have to understand church history. Something dramatic changed. Herod decided to run after the leaders. In the past, it was the priests. It was the religious people who were against Christians. But this time, this crazy guy decided to run after Christians by doing something against their leaders. Now, I want you to imagine now, you are James. And you prayed, Lord, deliver me, Lord, deliver me. Or you are the brother of James. Or you are the father and mother of James. Or you are the sister of James. You prayed for James. But God did not answer your prayer. What do you do? Will you give up on God? Will you stop praying? I know of many Christians, so-called Christians, when their prayers are not answered, they leave the church. They leave God. The problem is this, they don't know biblical theology. You see, many of you, we want God to be our servant. You don't understand theology. Let me encourage you, in times of disappointments, when prayers are not answered, what do? Pray without ceasing. You keep praying. You thank the Lord by faith. Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, pray without ceasing. I'm telling you, keep praying, even if you're disappointed. Who is James? Can I tell you who is James? James was part of the special disciples of Jesus. The Bible tells us he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John. You see, Peter, James, and John were in the inner circle of Jesus. So don't tell me that Jesus did not love James. Jesus gave James, Peter, and John special attention. He had 12 disciples. Among the 12, he discipled especially three of them, Peter, James, and John. The Bible tells us how special were they. 6 days later, Jesus took with him 3, Peter, James, and John, brought them to a high mountain by themselves. And right on the mountain, he was transfigured before them. Jesus gave special attention to James, John, and Peter. James was the first apostle to be martyred. He died. John was the last apostle to be martyred. John was also martyred. I don't believe he died of old age. Scholars tell us he died under boiling water or boiling oil. That's John. Peter was martyred upside down. All of them were martyred. By this time, James was the first to be killed. Humanly speaking, you would say, Lord, why did you take away James? At the height of his ministry, he was so effective. Well, my friend, when you pray, your perspective may change. So, let's look at what happened. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now, it was during the days of the unleavened bread. It was the days of the Passover, exactly like Jesus. Jesus was arrested on the Passover, and then he was crucified on the Passover. And the Bible tells us, when he had seized him, he put him in prison. They put Peter in prison, delivering him to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. In other words, to execute him. Now listen to me. Herod had 4 squads. What does it mean? Maximum security. Make sure Peter will never get out. In Acts chapter 5, they were put in jail. Remember, James, John, those guys, and God got them out. So Herod said, not this time. You will not get out. Every squad has 4 soldiers. One is tied to your left hand. The other one is tied to your right hand. And you have 2 others guarding. They rotate every 3 hours. So the Roman system of maximum guarding is you divide the day, 12 hours, 12 hours, 4 squads, 3 hours, rotation. And every time you rotate, one guard, and 2 guards guarding. In other words, Peter was finished. There is no way he can escape. Are we clear? Now, what will you do if you are Peter? Be honest, what will you do if you are Peter? You know you are next to be executed. Well, let's find out. Peter was kept in prison, but praying for him was being made fervently by the church of God. In other words, what's amazing was the entire church. I want you to imagine now, how many were they? Remember in the book of Acts, the first part, 3,000 got saved. The next chapter, 5,000 got saved, men only. And then a few chapters later, you read many disciples were coming to Christ. Many of them were becoming disciples. So there were thousands and thousands of people. Now remember, all of these people were praying at home, in the temple, in small groups. So imagine now, I was just thinking, if CCF will maintain the habit of prayer, if we become prayerful, the Bible says, prayer for him was being made fervently. You know, fervently, many times our prayer is not fervent. You don't pray from the heart. You are praying the mind. Those kind of prayers are ineffective. You need to pray fervently with the heart. I saw this, I believe it was last year or 2 years ago. I was in Malaysia. And it was election time. The Malaysians were so sick and tired of their government because the one in power, their political party, has been in power for over 60 years. It was so corrupt. If you recall, the Malaysian previous prime minister, millions and millions of dollars gone missing. How do you explain it? And then in his house, you have jewelry, millions of dollars, you have bullions, all of this. But the church gathered together. They fasted, they prayed. The entire Christian community fasted and prayed. I was there during that week of election. They were praying. And would you believe it, what happened to Malaysia? The unthinkable happened. The opposition, led by an old man by the name of Mahathir, 80 plus years old, he won. Malaysia have an amazing future today. Why? Christians, you just pray, okay? You keep praying because prayer unleashes God's power. So they were praying for Peter. And the Bible tells us, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, what was Peter doing? Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Guards in front of the door were watching over this guy. Now listen to me. Peter knows he was about to be delivered the next day. What was he doing? Sleeping. Now, listen to me. Will you be able to sleep if you know by tomorrow you will die? Really, be honest with me. Why was he sleeping? You have to understand. When you are prayerful, God changes your perspective. Peter was at peace. You know why? Look at what he wrote about suffering and pain. This is from Peter. Would you like to know their perspective on life and death? Let's find out. Peter wrote in 1 Peter, everybody read together. In this you greatly rejoice. Notice, greatly rejoice. Even though, everybody, even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. For the Apostle Peter, pain, suffering is okay. You can rejoice. Why? His perspective. Because if necessary, only if necessary, God does not give us problems unnecessarily. But if necessary, you have been distressed. For what reason? Everybody read. So that the proof of your faith, the genuineness of your faith. Friends, how can you tell a true Christian from a counterfeit Christian? How can you tell a true follower of Jesus from a counterfeit follower? It's very hard because we look the same. It's only when you are tested. That's why some believers don't keep on staying in the church. So-called believers, when they have problems, what happens when they have problems? They give up on God. They give up on Jesus. Friends, the Bible says, trials will prove your faith. Why is it so important? You know why it's important? Notice what the Bible says. So that the proof of your faith, genuine or not genuine, being more precious than gold, you are more precious than gold, so that when Jesus comes again someday, what's going to happen? You may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor. In other words, problems are not arbitrary. Peter understood this. Now, would you like to know our perspective on life and death? Would you like to know? Because most of us don't like death. But death is a certainty. I guarantee you, sooner or later, you will die. Can you tell your neighbor, mamatay ka rin? Now, the only problem is this. What is God's perspective on death? Notice two perspectives. The first one, if you belong to God, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. When God's people die, for Him it's precious. For us, what a loss. For God, it's precious. Another verse. The righteous man perishes. He dies. And no man takes it to heart. A devout man are taken away. Devout men are taken away. when no one understands, why will you take this person away? He says, a good man. Boom! The Bible says, for the righteous man is taken away from evil, to protect them from further evil. God's perspective. He enters into peace. To understand this further, look at Revelation about death. I heard a voice from heaven saying, everybody read, blessed, happy are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Qualification, happy are those people who die in the Lord, only for Christians. Why? The Bible says, so that they may rest from their labors, their deeds follow after them. My friends, two kinds of people in this room. Those who know God and those who serve Him. The Bible says, blessed. The example is the Apostle Paul. When he was about to die, look at what he said. Philippians chapter 1. Everybody read. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What does it mean? If I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know which to choose. Paul is simply saying, for me, his main motivation in life, his purpose in life, for me to live is Christ. And because of that, to die is gain. I do not know about you. Some of you, for to me to live is money. If your answer is money, to die is loss. Some of you, for me to live is career. For me to live is my possessions. For me to live is what? Whatever is that answer, if it is not Jesus, you cannot say, and to die is gain. Your answer will be, if I live for money, to die is loss. If I live for popularity, to die is loss. If I live for fame, for fortune, for possession, to die is loss. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you living for? See, all of you are living for something. I want to ask you, what are you living for? Peter, he lived for Jesus. James, he lived for Jesus. Paul, he lived for Jesus. That's why he can honestly say, for me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor. In other words, whatever he does is for the Lord. And notice the next verse. He tells us, I'm hard pressed. I'm hard pressed. I do not know what is better, to die or to live. Having the desire to be with Christ, I would prefer to die and be with Christ. However, for your sake, to remain on in the flesh is necessary for you. For the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, and John, they are not afraid of death. That's perspective. For God's people, to die is precious. However, there's another perspective from God's side. If you don't belong to Jesus, it's awful. Ezekiel 33, let's read together. As I live, declares the Lord God. The Lord God. Everybody read. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. When the Bible uses the word wicked, it does not always mean rapist, murderer. No. Wicked is anybody who does not put God first. If you read the book of Psalms, if you read the Old Testament, wicked people are called wicked. Not because they are murderer or rapist. It's because they don't recognize God in their lives. You have an idol. You don't live for God. Would you believe it? There are people in this room today. In the eyes of God, you are called wicked. Because you pretend to come here. But I really don't know your heart. I don't know how you live from Monday to Saturday. You and I can play games with God. Because we have religion. But that's not what I'm talking about. The heart of God is for the wicked, for those who don't recognize Him as Lord, because you have been playing with God. Understand what I'm saying? Look at what God has to say. God is saying, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I don't like you to die. What does God want? But rather that the wicked turn from his way. Repent. Turn back. Repent. Turn back. Repent from your evil ways. So friends, your choice. Perspective. Ezekiel 18:32. I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. However, if you belong to the Lord, the Bible says He delights. You see, for James, when he died at an early age, people will say, sorry, how bad, how I wish you could live longer. But you know, for God, God saying, James, I'm now promoting you. Welcome home. It's time to go home. Friends, you will not die until God's purpose in your life has been accomplished. Provided you belong to Him. You and I are immortal until our task is done. Peter, his task was not yet done. God extended his life. But eventually, Peter will be martyred. James was killed. Why? In God's perspective, James, I'm not promoting you. I'm calling you home. I love you. Time to go home. You see, you must pray without ceasing so that it will affect your perspective. It will align. Why do we pray without ceasing? We have problems. But we need perspective to change your thinking. When your thinking is changed, your feeling will change. And when your feeling is changed, your behavior will change. And then you begin to pray even more. You see, this cycle, I don't know about you, there are times I don't understand. Really, I don't understand. I'm reminded of the story of a very famous pastor. He was asked to pray for somebody with cancer. The wife brought the man, the wife brought her husband to the pastor to pray. That Sunday, the wife told the pastor, my husband is 58 years old and he's dying of cancer. Can you pray for him? He said, sure, I'll pray for him. On Wednesday or Thursday, he heard a phone call. The wife called him. Pastor, he was so excited. He was thinking, you know, the guy's okay. My husband died. When he heard, he was so sad. And then the wife said, Pastor, don't feel sad. The pastor said, why? He said, when I brought my husband to church that Sunday, he was the most miserable man because he was so angry with God. He does not understand how a loving God will allow him to have cancer so that he won't be able to see his grandchildren. He wanted to see his grandchildren. He wanted to spend more time with his family, but he had cancer. He was so angry at God. When he gets angry at God, he gets angry at us, he gets angry at me, and we were miserable. But that Sunday, when you laid your hands upon him, for the first time, he had peace. And we began to read the Bible together. And we began to sing together. He said, the last 3 days of our lives were the best. Pastor, while God did not cure my husband, he healed my husband. Wow, what a profound statement. God did not cure my husband, but he healed my husband. Isn't that wonderful? Friend, what is it called? It's called perspective. And sometimes I don't understand. But one thing I've learned about prayer. When you pray, you have to realize theology is important. God is almighty. Nothing is impossible with God. Yes? And you must know God is wiser than you. God knows what is best. And you must believe God wants what's best for you. So no matter what, pray without ceasing. Can you turn to your neighbor, wake them up, say, gising na. Okay, pray without ceasing, okay? That means you give thanks. To pray without ceasing, you have got problems, pray. Your perspective needs to change. And you want to see God's power? Amazing. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared and light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up. Peter, gising na. Get up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Now imagine, God allowed Peter to stay in jail until the night before he will be killed. God intervened on the last night. What is the lesson? Friends, I've learned when I pray, God is seldom early, but he is never late. Let me repeat. God is seldom early, but he is never late. He is always on time. So singles, wave at me again. Singles, say hi to me. Singles, wave at me. Will God intervene at the right time? Your problem is this. Don't be in a hurry. When you compromise your purity, when you compromise yourself because you are in a hurry to get married, I'm sorry. You learn to pray. To pray is to wait on the Lord. Perspective, be patient. You know, you just wait. And the Bible tells us, Peter, on the last night, what happened to him? Amazing! The chains fell off. Not only that, the angel said to him, gird yourself, put on your sandals. And he did so. He said to him, wrap your cloak around you, follow me. And he went out and continued to follow. What is his job? Just follow. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real. In Peter's mind, he was dreaming, but thought he was seeing a vision. And the Bible tells us, when they had passed, notice, the first guard, the second guard, remember I told you, how many guards? Four. One on the right, one on the left. Impossible situation. But nothing is impossible with God. First guard, second guard. Not only that, they came to the iron gate. What happened? Which opened for them by itself. Can you imagine? The gate opened by itself. Is God powerful? Yes or no? Yes. Look at what the Bible says. And went along on one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Is God powerful? Yes or no? But you will not experience his power when you stop praying. I want the church to learn to pray fervently. And that's why we have small groups. I believe the small groups all over Jerusalem were gathered together, they were praying. House to house, they were praying. And God intervened at the right time. Friends, do you need prayer? Yes or no? Pray unceasingly. Don't give up. The greatest motivation for prayer is answered prayer. The greatest obstacle to prayer is unanswered prayer. When your prayers are not answered, you become discouraged. May I suggest, when your prayers are not answered, you keep praying. Because God has something better. Wait, no, or something better. Now, what happened? When Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. So God did something supernatural. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, and was also called Mark. Now remember, while they sold their houses, it is not mandatory that everybody sells their houses. You have Mary. She still owns the house. You have John. They still have houses. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not communism. It's generosity. But in this case, many were gathered together and were praying. They were praying in the house of Mary, all right? And the Bible tells us, when Peter knocked at the door of this gate, a servant named Rhoda. How many of you are named Rhoda? Raise your hand. This morning we have somebody named Rhoda. Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, she got so excited, she did not open the gate. Ran into it and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. Everybody, read the next verse. This is a comedy. Peter was knocking. What were they doing? They were praying, Lord, get Peter up, get Peter up. And when Peter was knocking, it's not Peter, it's not Peter. What's our problem? Our problem is this. Sometimes we don't believe our own prayers. We pray, but you don't really believe. You know what tells me? God is sovereign. You don't need to have a big faith. Even weak faith, like these guys, weak. God will honor our weak faith. You know why? Weak faith, a small faith in a big God is powerful faith. A big faith in a small God is nothing. How big is your God? Big or small? How many of you have big God? You have a big God. Higher. Okay. How big is your faith? Me? Little. It's okay. A little faith in a big God. Amen? Praise God that God's power is not dependent on your faith. God's power is absolute. He wants something done. Does not matter how many chains. Does not matter how many guards. He can set you free. One of my friends, whom I met in Milan, has been into alcohol and drug and cigarette and marijuana, cocaine for 30 years. His friend invited him to church in Milan. The first time he went to church, he was drunk. So he did not understand anything. Next Sunday, he went to church again. Third Sunday, more sober. And the Lord struck his heart. He said, on the third Sunday, the Lord came into my life. I stopped drinking, stopped smoking, stopped taking drugs. In other words, if you encounter the real God, the real Jesus, power is there to set you free. Are you in bondage today? I have good news for you. Don't give up. Keep praying. Are you in bondage to pornography? In bondage to drugs? Bitterness, unforgiveness? You keep praying. You know what Peter did? Mentioning to them with his hand to be silent. He said, shh. He described to them how the Lord led him out of the prison and said, report these things to James. Who is James? This is not James the apostle. He got killed. This is James, the brother of Jesus, the one who wrote the book of James. Report to them, and they went out. Friends, as we close, I want you to see a video of a guy I met. His name is, it's really a hard name to pronounce. So let us just call him by my own shortcut. I will call him Celso, because that's what he told me. But this guy was into drugs. At the age of 13, he left the house. He robbed 300 banks. He was a thief, a bandit, a mobster. He controlled drug distribution. He was finally caught after robbing 300 banks at a young age. And when he was put in jail, he killed somebody inside the jail to show you how tough this guy was. And he was put into solitary confinement. In the solitary confinement, the neighborhood had this party and they were playing a broken record. You know the old record? When it's broken, it repeats. And the music is, call me, call me, call me. He said he heard that for 3 hours. Call me, call me. And now, you want to hear his testimony?
For three hours.
And then what happened?
Aí eu fiquei meio louco, falei, quem eu vou chamar?
Then I was
nessa hora eu ouvi,
Eu ouvi uma voz. Eu estou aqui, te ouço, pode me chamar. E eu pensei que eu estava ficando louco. Eu chamei os outros presos, alguém falou comigo. Silêncio total, ninguém falou. A música parou. Eu pensei que era algum fantasma. Mas eu depois vi que não era, não tinha fantasma. Aí eu ouvi novamente. Eu estou aqui, te ouço, pode me chamar. Aí eu caí de joelho e falei, é o Deus da minha mãe. Ela sempre falava de Jesus para mim. Ela sempre orava por mim. E nessa hora eu falei, se o Senhor é o Deus da minha mãe, me dá um sinal. E aí, dentro do meu coração, ele falou, aquele livrinho que você está usando para fumar maconha, era o Novo Testamento dos Gideões. E nós já tínhamos fumado quase 95%. Mas Jesus não deixou nós fumarmos Mateus 11, 28 a 30.
Oh, Matthew, let me come unto me.
Vem a mim, todos cansados, oprimidos, eu vos aliviarei. Nessa hora eu falei, se isso é verdade, tem jeito para mim. Aí eu fiz uma oração, falei, o Senhor não precisa me curar. Se o Senhor me der sono para dormir, tem 3 noites que eu não durmo de dor. E me tirar dessa isolada, desse castigo, eu vou ser um cristão. E nesta hora eu encostei em um canto, veio um calor, que era muito frio essa cela. E eu dormi. De manhã cedo, o diretor me chamou e me liberou da isolada. E eu perguntei para ele, mas por quê? Ele falou, também não sei. Eu cheguei agora de madrugada e estava uma pasta na minha mesa. E eu fui olhar e vi que era você. E vi que você está lá inocente. Você não quer sair? E falando com Deus, Deus, eu sei que eu prometi que eu ia ser crente, mas eu tomo picada até no pescoço. Eu sou o pichote da Zona Sul. Eu tenho compromisso com o crime do cartel de Cali. E eu tenho uma máscara muito grande no crime. Como que eu vou ser crente? Aquela palavra que eu tinha lido, vem a mim e eu te aliviarei. Ela repetia dentro de mim, vem a mim e eu te aliviarei. E aí eu cheguei no pavilhão 9 de volta, que eu tinha ido falar com o diretor no pavilhão 6. E tinha uns irmãos da igreja fazendo um evangelismo. E eles cantavam um louvor e diziam... Oh, porque Jesus te ama, eu não posso te explicar, só sei que Ele te chama e deseja te salvar. E eu cheguei na minha cela, os meus companheiros, um era macumbeiro, o outro era ateu. E eles falaram, tá livre, pichote. Eu falei, me liberaram. Então vamos festejar. Pegaram um monte de drogas e bebidas. E começaram a usar droga e beber. E, mas para mim não tinha mais graça. Eu olhava e já não era mais meu mundo. A palavra já tinha entrado em mim. E ela já estava falando, vem a mim. E eu não tinha, aquele mundo não era mais um. E no sábado a minha mulher veio me visitar. Ela também não era cristã. Ela seguia a Umbanda. E ela chega diferente. E ela vem e começa a chorar, me abraça. E diz que há 2 dias atrás ela tinha entrado numa igreja e aceitou Jesus Cristo.
And gave her life to Christ.
E ela me deu uma Bíblia de presente. E disse que eu tinha que ler a Bíblia. Que ela voltaria na outra semana. E não quis mais conversar comigo. E foi embora.
And left.
E me deixou eu e a Bíblia. Naquele tempo, andar no pavilhão 9... com uma Bíblia na mão, desse tamanho, preta, escrita Bíblia Sagrada em dourado. Era muito difícil, porque eu era um bandido famoso. Se eu estivesse com a metralhadora na mão, ninguém me notaria. Mas com a Bíblia, significava que eu me acovardei. Eu fiquei ali pensando, como que eu vou levar essa Bíblia? E não passava ninguém que eu conhecia... E que tinha, eu podia dar ordem para pegar a Bíblia e levar para mim. Porque eu tinha um poder no crime na época. Eu comandava 16 bocas de droga dentro da cadeia. E tinha 8.500 presos ali. Mas não passava nenhum que era meu servo. E aí chegou a hora que eu tinha que ir para a cela. E eu peguei a Bíblia então. E aí eu falei, quer saber de uma coisa? Eu não devo nada para ninguém. Pus a Bíblia no peito e fui para a minha cela. Eu nunca fui tão notado naquele pavilhão como naquele dia.
Was looking at me.
Todo mundo que eu passava falava, pichote, você com Bíblia, mano, velho. E eu falava, dá licença, não
and
te
I
devo
said,
nada.
Oh, come on.
E fui
Leave
andando.
And I, e fui I caminhando. Walk. I walk.
Quando eu cheguei na cela, eu morava com um macumbeiro e um ateu. E eles começaram a zombar mais ainda. E eu fiquei nervoso. Falei, não entre no meu caminho. Isso é um presente da minha mulher. Wow. Cuida da tua vida. E eles começaram a dizer um pro outro que a Bíblia era tudo mentira. E começou a me ofender. E a voz falava dentro de mim. Você não pode deixar eles falar que é mentira. E começamos a discutir, eu falando que era verdade e ele falando que era mentira. Se você tem tanta certeza, prove que é verdade. Aí eu falei, agora eu morri. porque eu não conhecia a Bíblia. Mas eu tomei coragem e falei, me dá aqui. E eu fechei o olho e a Bíblia e falei, Deus, o Senhor me colocou nessa, o Senhor me tira dessa. Abri e coloquei o dedo. Quando eu olhei, estava em João 14, 6. Eu sou o caminho, a verdade e a vida, ninguém vem ao Pai senão por mim. Aí eu falei, tá vendo? Sem caminho não tem para onde ir. Mas por que isso? Por que aquilo?
Eu falei, espera.
Deus, aí eu abria, punha o dedo, eu lia, entendia, explicava. Eles ficavam admirados. Oh. Aí nós discutimos 12 horas. E eu explicava a Bíblia, do Gênesis ao Apocalipse, sem conhecer. E no final das contas, ele se levantou e falou, se isso fosse tão bom, você estava seguindo. Já fez até eu chorar. Eu já estava até sentindo uma coisa aqui estranha. Por que você não segue? E ele caiu na cama e dormiu. O outro já tinha dormido. E eu caí de joelho e comecei a chorar. E eu falava para Deus, é tão bom e eu não estou seguindo. A partir de hoje, eu quero dar a minha vida. Usa a minha vida, Deus. Enquanto eu viver,
as long as I live,
se for um dia,
one day,
ou 100 anos,
or 100 years,
eu vou te servir.
I'm going to serve you.
E eu levantei de manhã e desfiz de tudo que eu tinha no crime. Eu entreguei tudo. Todas as drogas, tudo do crime. E fui para a igreja e aceitei a Jesus.
How do you explain? This guy was sentenced for 180 years. 180 years in prison. The mother prayed. His sentence was reduced. One third, 60 years. Reduced, 30 years. He prayed and prayed. He got out on the 12th year. You know why 12th year? He needed 4 years before he became a Christian in prison. He needed to study the Bible in prison. He needed to learn to preach in prison. And now he's a pastor. Praise God. Friends, God is still active today. Do not think he was only active in the time of Peter, James, and John. I can tell you many stories. And these are real stories because I met them. Some of you, your prayer life is kind of shallow. Because you don't really believe that power and prayer are interconnected. If you have loved ones who don't know the Lord, don't stop. Keep praying for them. I prayed for my loved ones. I prayed for my father. 20 years, nonstop. I pray for people. Let's be prayerful. Is that okay with you? So I want all of you to be prayerful, to think of people you want to pray for and pray for them daily. Meet as a group. That's why in the D12, in the D group, we pray when we gather together. On Sunday, we come here early. We want you to be prayerful because prayer changes things. Amen? There's power. No wonder Herod was shocked. The Bible tells us Herod has to investigate. And when he investigated, the soldiers could not explain. You know what Herod did? He had the guards. He ordered that they be led away to execution. Roman law. When you are guarding somebody and that person escaped, whatever is the punishment of that person, you pay the price. Can you imagine? Peter got saved. 16 soldiers had to die to take his place. Roman law. According to Eusebius, one of the early church fathers, he wrote that one of the soldiers came to know Jesus because of Peter's witnessing. He was so impacted that he told the Roman government, "You kill me, it's okay." He wasn't afraid to die. You know why? Perspective changed. When you encounter Jesus, your life will be changed. So my question to you is this. Have you met Jesus? You see, your prayer life will reveal to God whether your spiritual life is real or not. And if your spiritual life is not healthy, look at me. You pray for God to revive you spiritually. Herod was so angry, the Bible tells us, he went to Caesarea. Caesarea is the place of the capital of Rome in Israel. He met with the people from Tyre and Sidon. And when he met them, you know what they did? They were so happy, they worshiped him. You know what they were saying? They were saying to Herod, they kept saying, "The voice of a God and not of a man." Look at what happened. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and died. The same story was repeated by Josephus. Josephus was not a Christian. He wrote this account. And that's why we know when this happened. Herod Agrippa died around 42-43 AD. This incident happened only around 10-12 years after Christ. The church was growing fast. And Herod was persecuting Christians. And what did God do? The power of God. God killed the Roman officer who wanted to get rid of Christian leaders. And the Bible tells us when Herod was taken away by the angel, he died in 5 days. We don't know exact sickness. Some people say appendicitis. Some people say whatever it is. The point is this. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Herod was killing people. In Acts chapter 12, last verse, Herod died. What does that tell you? God is sovereign. God's purpose will be accomplished. You just pray. The disciples prayed. I don't think they prayed for Herod to die. They just say, Lord, help us from this persecution. I don't know what they prayed for, but God is amazing. God delivered them. And the Bible tells us, the word of the Lord continued to grow and multiply. You see, folks, this man says, around us is a world lost in sin. Above us is a God willing and able to save. It is ours to build the bridge that links heaven and earth. And prayer is the mighty instrument that does the work. You need to be prayerful. What's the title today? Pray without ceasing. And may I suggest a suggested prayer. This is my prayer, that you will pray, you will learn to pray this prayer. Everybody, this is a very important prayer I want to teach you. Lord, you know this is my desire. You can do it if you want to. However, I know you know what's best and you want what's best for me. Not my will, but your will be done. Everybody, bow your heads. If you don't know how to pray, you keep quiet, you listen to God. You pray this prayer, Lord, speak to me. Keep praying. Not until God answers you, but until you listen to Him. As your heads are bowed down, the Lord is impressing upon my heart to pray for some of you. Some of you don't even know really how to pray. And you want me to pray for you, I'll pray for you, okay? Some of you don't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, it's hard to pray because you are talking to a stranger. If you'd like to meet the Lord today, to really encounter Him, will you raise your hands? I'll pray for you. Praise God. Anybody else? You say, I really need to know the Lord. Raise your hands higher. I want to pray for you. Okay, keep those hands up. Father God in heaven, I pray for those people whose hands are raised up. They want to know you. And I know you love them. Help them to know you. Now pray these prayers, okay? Those of you whose hands are raised up, you pray this prayer. Lord, I need you. I don't know you, but I want to know you. My faith is small. Lord, accept my little faith because you're a big God. Help me to come to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my life. May your Spirit fill me right now. Help me to know you. Father God in heaven, I thank you for everybody here today for reminding me, reminding all of us, we must pray without ceasing. In good times, in bad times, we must keep praying. Lord, I pray for everybody, including myself, that we will come to know you more, that we will pray for this country, I pray for this election, that the right people will win. And those that are not honest, those that are dishonest. Lord, you can do anything. You can take them away. You can remove them. But we pray for mercy for this country. Grant this country, Lord, good leadership, and make this country progress materially, spiritually, in every sense of the word. I now commit to you, everybody here. Those of us who are hurting, those who are discouraged, speak to us that nothing is impossible with you. Thank you that you are a great God. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.